Mark Bowden's The Finish, The Killing of Osama bin Laden, offers a broad picture of the nation's most important special operations mission from the journalist who's been covering our counter-terrorist forces since the publication of his bestseller, Black Hawk Down, in 1999. The account of the mission, written with the cooperation of President Barack Obama, The Finish, draws on interviews with nearly all of the key White House, Pentagon, and CIA officials directly involved in planning and executing the mission. It is a great pleasure to welcome Mark Bowden to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
How did you come to this story and wanting to cooperate with the administration, cooperate with Pentagon and CIA officials, and get the story out there?
Well, I, you know, like most journalists, recognize a good story when I see one, and the killing of Osama bin Laden is certainly one of the most significant events in the past 10 years. When you say cooperation, I mean, I basically did what I always do, which is I seek out the people directly involved in the story that I want to write, and I ask them to help me. I ask them to talk to me, and that's what I did in this case. And I was fortunate enough to get the president to agree to sit down to an interview, and had varying levels of success at the White House, the Pentagon, the CIA, Special Operations Command, but basically a you know, you just pursue the story the way I always do.
When you look at this mission, and obviously this is something that this country struggled with for a long time, why was the killing of Osama bin Laden so important, both politically and diplomatically?
I think it was important for a whole range of reasons, as you say. And one large reason is the attacks on 9/11, I think, were still, to some extent, an open wound for Americans as long as the architect of them, bin Laden, was still alive and at large. So, I mean, you saw and probably felt, as I did, the enormous outpouring of a celebration and relief when bin Laden was killed. I think nothing better illustrates how significant that event was for the country. From a military perspective, I think the organization that bin Laden created, the international terrorist group that successfully planned the attacks on 9/11, had all but been dismantled when he was killed. So killing him was really more of a symbolic end to that organization.
Before we talk about the finish of this, let us talk about what preceded it, which was years of trying to capture or kill Osama bin Laden. How was he able to remain so elusive?
He remained hidden because he was very good at hiding. He did all the things that you should do if you don't want to be found. He completely dropped off the map in terms of any kinds of telecommunications. He moved to a secret location. He lived hidden with his family on the upper two floors of a house that he literally never left. When you look at all of the precautions that he took and the way that he, how determined he was to hide, it's really more remarkable, frankly, I think, that we found him than it took so long.
What was the tipping point? What led to the finish?
The key was discovering that this man who they called Ahmed the Kuwaiti, who was a courier, who was known to at least in the past have been very close to bin Laden, was living in this very peculiar compound in Abbottabad, and that someone was hiding there. I think coupled with the fact that Ahmed the Kuwaiti had been closely involved with bin Laden, and the fact that someone was in hiding at his location in Abbottabad, and then a telephone conversation where he said he was back to work with the people he'd been with before. Those things added up to a very strong suspicion.
When you look at that suspicion, then it takes a long time to act on it and to prove it, right?
That's right. You don't want to launch an attack or shoot a missile or bomb someplace unless you're fairly certain that the target is someone appropriate and the person that you're aiming at. So I think that, you know, one of the things that I've done in the book is try to document the extraordinary efforts that the CIA went to make sure that the target in that compound was really bin Laden.
You write about the president in this book and his feelings on the killing or on the capture of bin Laden. How would you characterize his feelings prior to the killing of Osama bin Laden? Was this the ultimate outcome for him? Is this what he wanted?
Yes, he had been advocating for years, even before he became president, that the most appropriate target for the United States after the attacks on 9/11 was the top leadership of al-Qaeda. And he had announced when he was running for president that if he had actionable intelligence in of a location for bin Laden in Pakistan, that he would launch an attack unilaterally if necessary. And he was widely criticized for that by just about everyone on both sides of the political spectrum, including his present opponent for president, Mitt Romney. And when he became president, he acted on his promise. He instructed his intelligence chiefs to make finding bin Laden their top priority. He began to move resources from Iraq to Afghanistan, focused on the tribal areas of Pakistan, all of which was, I think, a part of his overall strategy, which was to locate, find, and kill the people responsible for 9/11.
In what way, if any, was this a new kind of warfare?
I think it was an extraordinarily new kind of war in that our enemy, which, as we saw in 9/11, was capable of launching a very bloody and catastrophic attack, really. I mean, it had a huge impact on this country. Was not a nation state, but an invisible network of terrorists scattered all over the world who were linked by telecommunications. In the past, our adversaries in the Cold War were nation states. The targets were easy to find and hard to kill, things like missile silos and tanks and military bases. This enemy was relatively easy to capture or kill if you could find them, but finding them was a challenge.
Tell us about something you read about in the book and this counterterrorism tool of find, fix, finish, exploit, analyze, disseminate.
Yeah, that's what they call F3EAD, and that's the primary strategy that the United States military and intelligence community have evolved to tackle these international terrorist organizations. And of course, it calls for the combination of both the skills of the special operations community in conducting these raids, but it also involves extraordinary advances in the arts of surveillance and intelligence analysis, including obviously the use of drones, the use of supercomputers, the use of innovative software. All of these aspects have been fused into what's called a targeting engine, which is essentially all about finding and either capturing or killing the key individuals planning these acts of terror.
Where are we now when it comes to the war on terror? The big guy on the list has been taken care of. So for many people, we look and we say, okay, what now?
Well, I think that it is safe to say that the organization, al-Qaeda, that launched the attacks on 9/11 is all but defunct. The number two character, al-Zawahiri, is still capable of issuing occasional statements, but the sort of funding, organization, recruiting, training skills that went into planning something like 9/11 are simply not there anymore. What we see now are local Islamist militant groups throughout the Middle East and the Near East who fly the flag of al-Qaeda and who do that to aggrandize themselves and to attract recruits. These folks are very dangerous in their own neighborhoods, but they're no more capable of launching attacks like those on 9/11 than your local Kiwanis Club.
When it comes to acts of terror, though, I mean, we see this from what we hear. It was thwarted at the Federal Reserve to cases that come in and out of different things, different situations that we are put in, that we become aware of. And I guess they all come under this umbrella of terrorism, but we all wonder how related they are and what ultimately the web is.
Well, I think that there's still a lot of exhortation to true believers, you know, amongst the extremist Islamic community to launch terror attacks. And there no doubt will continue to be individuals or even groups of individuals who attempt terrorist attacks, not just in this country, but around the world. I think that's been a fact of life for a long time. But I do think you have to separate out that sort of behavior from the incredible attacks that took place on 9/11, which involved, you know, dozens of men recruited from around the world, trained, moved to the United States, you know, given pilot training, coordinating the hijacking of four jetliners at the same time. I mean, that was an extraordinarily sophisticated international plot that involved many people, hundreds of thousands of dollars, months and months of training, you know, and that yielded results on an enormous scale. So I think that kind of an attack is a couple orders of magnitude different than some guy pulling a car with a trunk full of explosives in front of a building and trying to ignite it.
The name of the book is The Finish, The Killing of Osama bin Laden. The book is published by Atlantic Monthly Press. Mark, as always, thank you very much for spending time with us. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Finish, The Killing of Osama bin Laden. It is published by Atlantic Monthly Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.